Good morning, and welcome to the VFL Footy Show.
Yes, the Round 8 edition, and it's been an interesting week for myself, and today's game is the traditional rivals, isn't it?
It is Carlton versus Collingwood, or Collingwood versus the
Northern Bullants.
Northern Bullants, it's got to be a good game because Northern Bullants are absolutely flying at the moment.
They're definitely the form team of the competition, aren't they? Williamstown are the benchmark, and I guess away from them, Bullants they're just playing that sort of football at the moment that won't be beaten. You know, they just good size win easily. And they were never threatened by Werribee last weekend at all.
No. Werribee started very, very well. Couldn't score. They just couldn't put that score on the board. They had plenty of the ball.
They lost their structure, didn't they?
They had
Barlow playing in the back line at 1 minute, and then obviously Thompson's not in the side. So
yeah, once they
Marty
got,
Pask, he's a...
Once they got the ball into the forward line, they just fell apart.
You often hear of players who play small but play big. Muddy Pask is a big man who plays small. He doesn't provide that marking presence. He's okay out of the goal square. You know, that's fine.
I think they've been
decimated by injuries. I think a lot of the...
Not only that, they haven't got the pods there.
Well, they haven't
been able to replace him.
I mean, we'll go through the teams in a bit more detail later on, but because they've got a part alignment, they're only, like, looking at their team this weekend, they've got Riggio... Ops, who's a rookie listed player, and Harris is really the only listed North Melbourne players playing. Now, they don't have a big, obviously, selection of North Melbourne players, but the injuries at the Kangaroos are definitely making it hard for the Werribee Tigers. North Ballarat traditionally and always have had a stronger VFL list. That's why they never went with the full alignment. But, the Tigers, that's three straight losses now. And it's disappointing, very disappointing. And, I don't know, we spoke to Simon Atkins on the program last weekend, Jimbo.
Yeah, he wasn't a half. When I'm at Werribee, I get a privilege of hearing the coaches in there in the roar virtually. And Simon Atkins wasn't a happy coach on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, we can usually tell how the axe is going, because he usually slams the door on our commentating when things aren't going too well for Werribee, or we might be getting critical of some of the players. Like you said, they got plenty of the football, and I guess that's one of the disappointing things. You know, they kicked 17 behinds. So some of those, turned three of those into goals, and all of a sudden they had that scoreboard pressure. There was times when you thought Werribee weren't out of it. They just couldn't find that avenue to goal. We'll go through all the results, but something that's, made the online services, you don't tape obviously the ABC game, do you?
No.
There was an incident last weekend in the Frankston Box Hill game. I don't know if you...
Justin Berry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been given 2 weeks off.
Oh, so he did get suspended.
He got a week, but because of the bye, he still has to serve his week off. He doesn't get the week off like everybody else. He gets 2 weeks off.
So he did actually get suspended, because I was looking online. You're up to date with all the VFL news this week.
I saw it accidentally on one of the other news services. He made another news service.
What, the actual news?
Yes.
Yeah, on TV? Amazing.
On TV. I think it might have been the Fox Network.
Well, just the shock that the VFL has actually suspended somebody. Made the news. Yeah. They just can't believe it. What's going on? Yeah. And it's not surprising. It's another VFL-listed player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder if it was...
I think that was the shock. VFL player suspended for 1 week.
And that was that for headbutting?
It was, yeah.
Yep. Did you see the incident? Did they have footage of the...
I can't remember, because I was thinking...
You were shocked.
VFL on TV? What's this?
And standalone Frankston?
Yeah, it wasn't like Gary Ablett coming through the reserves, suspended for 6 weeks for... some misdemeanor. It wasn't that sort of incident. It was like Justin Berry, Frankston, 1 week for headbutting type thing. Hold on, that doesn't... Am I seeing things? Am I hearing things? Am I having illusions or what?
Another, talking of VFL players getting injured in the VFL, Tom Lonergan was reported injured in their mm-hmm. win against Sandringham last weekend. So that must have been an absolute cracker of a game of footy. Let's start going through some of the round seven results. Jimbo, Williamstown are still sitting on top of the ladder with at a loss. And that was our broadcast game last weekend. Really, Port Melbourne not kicking a goal in the first quarter and being 2-12 at half time. Once again, not impressed by Port Melbourne. They offer so much and deliver little in the games we've seen this year. It was funny because we were talking about it off air and they got run to 4 points under lights at Casey Fields by the Scorpions, who came home with that wet sail and mm-hmm. could have possibly won it if it wasn't for Bonadio's pearler from the pocket, as you hear on the highlights. Really disappointing against the Northern Bullets. Really weren't in the contest at all. And now against Williamstown, when you would have thought Port Melbourne would have gone to really set themselves for a big match.
Yep.
You know, Gary Ayres was in a really jovial mood the whole morning. Everything was right, but the players just didn't click and the forward line wasn't working. Williamstown just play a good brand of team footy. They just are prepared to do the things that good sides do, and when it's their turn to go, they go. And one player who I've been really impressed with as a on-field leader is Chris Egan. Interesting pickup. I thought he may have been a flamboyant type who just comes and sits on a forward line for 2 years and, you know, kicks his 50 goals of the season and goes and makes money elsewhere. But he has been a very handy pickup for Williamstown and has really added some bite to that forward line in terms of his pressure, and he can be a marking option as well, and you know, Brad Gotch isn't scared to put him in the back line when required. We saw that against Frankston. So Williamstown 15-21, 111 defeated Port Melbourne 9-15-69. Now you hear those results, Jim, and you would think it was traditional Burbank day. It wasn't.
No,
there was not a breeze in the air. It was a little bit tricky.
It was amazing
kicking towards the army barracks end, which it always is. Yep. But
and there is actual proof that we're telling the truth. We were sitting outside commentating, and you could not hear a breath of wind on the microphones, which is a huge problem when you do an outside broadcast outside, is that you have trouble with wind on your microphones.
Well, especially at Williamstown when that wind comes straight into your face.
We had nothing to worry about. It was amazing.
Oh, it was actually the best day broadcasting-wise that we've had.
Mm-hmm. And the wind wasn't a problem, and it was good. And it was a nice sunny day, and it was warm. Didn't have that cold factor come into it late in the evening or late in the afternoon.
36 scoring shots to 24. And
Williamstown were very impressive.
Yeah, they very good. Little kick three. Davies, Egan and Rose two apiece, and the list goes on there for single goal kickers. DeLuca, and I thought Chris Kane battled hard in the second half. Good performance by the Seagulls, and they are on top with a pretty healthy percentage, Jim. So they've kicked 761.
So yep, average of 130-odd.
And the best defence in the competition at 436.
Mm-hmm. And that's very impressive.
I think someone was saying they've kept their opposition below 100 points all season, I think, Williamstown.
Yep, I think you'll find that's the case. I haven't got my laptop switched on at the moment.
That's all right. The ABC game, Box Hill. Yeah, well, they have really turned the corner, haven't they, under Brendan Bolton? Fresh breath of, what is that, a fresh breath?
breath of fresh air. Yes.
Thank you. And he's brought in Uze. Peterson's in great form. Bellows, a good player, and Bruce really impressed us against the Scorpions. 23-21, 159, defeated the Dolphins 9-5-59. So a very strong performance there by the Box Hill Hawks. Starting to get some players back from injury through the Hawthorn affiliation, but it's also their Box Hill list of players that are really stepping up. So Xavier Ellis amongst the best there. Stewie Jew, did he get...
4 goals and he got promoted.
He got promoted. Oh, he's in the extended bench, isn't he?
I think he's in the team.
We'll have to... We'll check the final listings this morning.
You talking Hawthorn's final team or Box Hill's? I think he's been promoted to
Hawthorn. We won't be able to find the team. They put 25 players...
Yep.
On the list. I'm going to actually introduce a question to our coaches and just ask them why.
Why and there's so many on the bench.
Ask them why they do that to us.
A nine-player bench.
And do they have? Are they just? Is that they're just senior group of players? Are they just the seniors and the reserves are listed as the reserves? But it's disappointing. So I know Sunday games make it very hard for the VFL teams to select their. That's fine. And there's a lot of VFL football, but for the Saturday teams and for the teams that played Friday night, the Bull Ants, for example, would
know their 22 today.
They would have known that on Thursday night.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll get the final team listings in the broadcast game today. North Ballarat, 15-12, 102, defeated the Casey Scorpions 11 goals 20, 86. So it sounds like a case of had enough of the footy. The Casey Scorpions just couldn't kick it straight. 7 behinds in the last quarter really cost them.
It was in a ground where neither team would have been familiar with the surroundings.
Yeah, Eastern Oval. Smith kicking 3, Driscoll, Jones and Richardson 2 apiece. And for the Scorpions, Hughes and Bell. Bell did enough to get selected in the Melbourne senior lineup.
Yeah, shock of shocks. Robbo's been promoted to the Casey Scorpions.
Yeah,
and Ricky Pettard has been promoted to the Casey Scorpions.
Well, he's not getting a sniff of it at the moment, Ricky Pettard. So that's good for him.
On-field discipline reasons, I heard.
On-field?
On-field discipline reasons. Acts of selfishness and that sort of thing. That's, probably my words. I won't say the words of the person who told me.
Who told you?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to divulge my sources.
Oh.
Because they might not say, they might not tell me the next time.
Oh, okay. You got sources now.
I've got sources.
Oh.
Yes, and they're not. Anyway.
What else have you got for us?
Well, Ricky Pittard had a few turnovers and clangers and that sort of thing, and they weren't the team-type clangers. And also, Robbo was a bit indisciplined. Is that the word, indisciplined?
I don't think Robbo's providing.
Trying to kick a goal off his back, from 1 metre out was probably the straw that broke the camel's back.
No, I think he just doesn't provide any defensive pressure inside his forward 50.
Yeah. But he is the best forward Melbourne have gotten. Maybe might be the catalyst that gets him, playing like we know Robbo can play.
Well, I don't want to talk about Melbourne because we could sit here all day and talk about Melbourne. But Colin Sylvia's back. It's taken a while. I'm very happy with that.
We saw him in a practice match against Frankston, and I think he got about 4 positions the whole day. Didn't spend a lot of time on the ground. Wasn't the Colin Sylvia I personally know from a player's point of view, and he was totally different against Hawthorn. He got, 30-something possessions?
37 possessions. Yeah, kicked 3 goals in 5 minutes.
Yep, and was probably the reason why Hawthorn didn't actually thrash Melbourne.
Well, you played a couple of good games for Sandringham. And talking of the Zebras, they went down by 3 points to the Cats. Yeah. 6 goals to 4 in the final quarter saw Geelong get home. And it just goes to show footy's a funny thing sometimes, isn't it, really? Great game of football. And I guess at 3-quarter time, you would have thought the Zebras were home. So they went down 18-14, 122 to Geelong 19-11, 125. Sortner. You got the goal kicking there for us, Jimbo?
I haven't got the goal kicking. We'll get that in the outbreak.
But he continues to lead the goal kicking for sure, kicking 5 goals last weekend. Lynch 4 and Gallagher 2. And for, I don't have the Cats, but they kicked a few goals and they won.
Very impressive. What did they kick in the last quarter? About 6, 7 goals?
Yeah, 6 goals 3 to 4 goals 4.
Yeah, maybe the Sandringham Zebras have lost their fight to win the close ones.
Well, we'll just have a look at this logjam at the ladder. Geez, Port Melbourne's loss cost them a few ladder positions last weekend. We'll go through that.
Yep, Bendigo Bombers.
Bendigo Bombers versus Coburg.
15-8-98 to Coburg. Were very impressive. 24-14, 158. And Coburg Tigers seem to be doing just enough to stay in the top... stay within reach of the top 3.
Carnell kicks 6.
Don't know him personally.
No, but he's that little nuggety midfielder. Bryce continues to make a lot of noise. We're going to have to go and get him in a minute.
Slap him over the wrist.
Yeah. Coburg, 24-14-158. Bendigo Bombers, 15-8-98, as you mentioned there. But plenty of goal kickers. Carnell, 6. Riewoldt, 6. McMahon, 3. Little, 2. Thompson and Garidas, 2 apiece. So, good performance there by Coburg. Hang on, listeners. I'm just going to have to...
That's okay. You can do that. Coburg just seemed to be doing enough to win very impressively, or they lose the games they should win. And that's... when you lose games you should win, that puts scoreboard pressure on.
It does.
Yeah. You don't want to thrash the opposition and lose the unlosable games. That's what separates the top teams from the bottom teams, or the top teams from the middle teams. The teams that can go out and win when they're not expected to.
Now we'll quickly go through the ladder. And
yep, Williamstown are on top, undefeated. 6 wins from seven outings. They've actually got the bye, so they're on 24 points with 174%. You can do the next couple.
You've got the Bullants and North Ballarat. They're sitting in second and third on 5 wins, 1 loss, and the bye. We've got Coburg and Box Hill, and also Port Melbourne. Port Melbourne's percentage... Copped the battering last weekend. They've dropped down to sixth position. So those three teams battling for the top four. Mm-hmm. And then it's Sandringham and Collingwood on 3 wins apiece. Sandringham, I think, have the bye this weekend.
No, Frankston this weekend. Sandringham next weekend.
Sandringham next weekend.
Yep. And then everyone's had the bye.
And then it's Collingwood sitting in the eight. Then three teams on 2 wins for the season. Casey, Werribee and Geelong. Frankston and the Bendigo Bombers yet to pick up a victory. Frankston aren't on the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, now something that's been happening around the world that might affect football in the near future is the swine epidemic, if it becomes an epidemic or a pandemic. We might be having a few games off in the next couple of weeks, the way things are going, because, the numbers seem to be escalating and they're starting to call local games off.
Local games of footy?
Yes.
Yeah. What, where, in the northern suburbs?
Yes. And that's a bit of a problem. South Morang, I think it is.
Okay.
Versus Epping's been called off. That's the first of what I hope is not many. You know, you don't want too many games called off. But at the same time, you don't want to, you don't want to put players and spectators under pressure when it goes to, playing or being spectator. And if you're going to go to the MCG with 80,000 people there and 20 of them have got the swine flu... you could have 80,000 people the next week in quarantine. I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, maybe they'll play football with no spectators.
Yep, or masks. So you won't know. We won't know who's who. It'll be like cricket. We won't know. Be able to recognise people.
Yeah, you're gonna have to, design a new poncho where we're just fully covered in plastic around us.
Yeah, there's already football teams flying interstate wearing masks.
Yeah, some
that's precautionary. That's more being smart than. You know, being smart as far as, precautionary.
Do we need to know about it? Like,
no.
Like, that's the thing. St Kilda just added to this fire of swine flu.
Yep. Well, Fremantle were...
I mean, you cough in the street and someone's
exactly.
Like running away from you.
I've been sneezing all week.
Hey, well, you keep your swine flu to that side I've of got the swine, studio, thank you.
As far as I know, I haven't been in contact with anyone with swine flu. I hope it doesn't come out to the southeastern suburbs.
Well, I got close to it, I know. There's a lady at work... who was at work and then didn't come back, and we asked where she was, and she was in quarantine.
Okay, so, that's a worry. So you might be a carrier.
No.
Did you get evacuated last night from work?
No.
I've
moved. I didn't affect. I think it must have been the top end of Collins Street.
I thought to myself, well, Kane might.
Yeah, I got the email about it. It was a chemical spill or something,
It was pretty scary because there's a lot of people working the city on a Friday night. And you being one of them, and I'm thinking to myself, Kane will be out drinking all night.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Early pub crawl.
Yeah, no, I had a couple of drank a couple of chemicals last night, but no, they were.
Yeah, so the chemical scoop bill that you had was more alcoholic chemicals.
Yeah, definitely. We'll quickly go through the VFL reserves. We don't give them too much acknowledgement on this program. We generally don't have time. We usually got guests, but this morning we don't. So we've got a little.
We'll be speaking to Chris Weaver. After 9:30, which is coming up soon.
We don't have any guests.
No, just Chris Weaver.
Well, what are we speaking to him about?
Oh,
Just life in general.
Yeah. You know, the VFL, where we're travelling, the fact that he's the face of VFL at the moment.
He's
taken over from Phil Cleary.
He's turning into a head wobbler, Chris Weaver. Frankston, 14-10-94. Vauxhall, 10-13-73. Crow kick 6 for the Dollies. Williamstown, well, it was close at half-time when we got there, but they really went home just too strongly, the Seagulls. This will probably be one of the most dominating teams in any competition in Australia at the moment.
Over a long period of time?
No, just this year. Okay. Like, if you were to go through all the ladders, mm-hmm. I mean, of course there's going to be some teams out in the country that...
Oh, of course, yeah. You absolutely kill the opposition.
You know, if you went through the Sandful, the Waffle, some of the, you know, high suburban comps, I know they're probably more even than what we're experiencing at the moment. I know they say that some people have a theory the VFL competition's even. I think it's starting to drift apart just a little bit. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. But Williamstown, 6 wins in the seniors and 6 wins in the reserves. They won 24-17-161. Port Melbourne, 14-13-97. Galea, we've got Galea running around in your twos. You're most likely going to win, yeah.
One team's doing all right.
Well, Port Melbourne had if you go through some of the names here.
Yeah, I had a look at their team a couple of weeks ago, and I thought I was looking at last year's grand final side.
Fanning, Batsanis, returning from injury. Thomas, Reese Thomas, De Bruin, Ciliano's played some senior footy. So, yeah, disappointing result there for Port Melbourne, and a pretty disappointing day. Coburg, 14-14-98, defeated the Bendigo Bombers, 12-8-80. Now the results we've got here for you is North Ballarat 7-12-54. Went down to the Casey Scorpions 15-14-104. Liam Jarrah still playing in the reserves with the VFL.
Well, he was the big saving grace for Casey at one stage.
Yeah, I was just wondering how far off Liam Jarrah is from senior football. We'll see if he's been selected this week.